Praise the Lord. Once again, you're welcome to the very first edition of Breaking Soul Ties. And I want to say a big thank you to you all for making time to join me today in this first edition. Now, we're starting the first session now, and in the first session, I'm going to do a brief run through of how soul ties came about and where we are at the moment and where we're going. And also, I'll then go into the scriptures to define what soul ties are, and we'll take it from there. So the first slide really is, what is a soul tie? Now, I'm sure many of us, or quite a number of us, have been through a few of my writings and posts on the internet, and or probably you've also heard messages or teachings about soul ties from other pastors and teachers of God's Word. But we're going to start by, you know, just quickly answering that question: what exactly is a soul tie? So we just want to give two or three simple definitions of soul ties, and then we'll talk about how the emphasis and the ministry started. Now, simply speaking, a soul tie is the captivation of your soul, which comprises your emotion, your will, and your mind by another person or thing. So let me explain this. Now, as a human being, you are made up of three parts: spirit, soul, and body. And you'll find the proof of that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. You know, which talks about God sanctifying us wholly, spirit, soul, and body. So you are made up of three parts. And for you to function effectively on the earth today as a believer and as a Christian, you need to understand how these three parts of you fuse together. You need to understand how they work together and how, you know, to harness all three parts to live victoriously as a Christian. Now, your spirit is that part of you that has direct contact with God. Your spirit is that part of you that is related directly with God. Your spirit is that part of you that perceives things going on in the spirit realm. Now, your soul is that part of you that is aware of yourself. And your soul houses your emotion. Your emotion is all about the way you feel about something. Maybe you're excited about something, or you are angry about something, or you are depressed about something. So that part of your soul is called the emotion. Now, another part of your soul is called the will. You know, if I'm seated now and I want to get to that door, now the first thing is that I have a picture in my mind that I want to get to that door. So that's going on in my mind. That's a picture. I want to get to that door. But the part of me that makes that decision, because it's not enough for me to think that I should get to that door, but there is another part of me that decides to get to that door, and that is what you call your will. And most times, your will is affected by your knowledge, is affected by what you know and by what you understand. Because things you don't know about, you can hardly make a decision about. You understand? Now, let's say this place is dark now, and I want some light in here. If I don't know that there is a switch there, I'm not going to make a decision to get up. If I don't know that there is a switch, I'm not going to make a decision to get up. So my will of wanting to get to that switch is based on my knowledge of that switch and what that switch can do. Do you understand? So my will is tied to what I know. And then also, the third part of your soul is your mind. And Your mind comprises of three things. So you see, I'm drilling right down now. Your mind comprises of your imagination. Your imagination is able to look ahead. Because this morning, you imagined yourself being here at the seminar. So that's your imagination. You were not here in the seminar, but you pre-played some pictures in your mind that you were going to be here at the seminar. And at least for a minimum, you are going to see someone out there talking to you called Olusola Adio. Maybe you didn't have a total picture of who and who else is going to be here, but at least you had a picture of someone talking to you here. So that's that part of you that play that function is called imagination. Now, your memory also is a part of your mind. Your memory is that part of you that replays the past. So let's, you know, put some fanciful words together. Your imagination replays the future, and your memory replays the past. I'm sure you remember that quite quickly. And then there is a third part of your mind called the intellect. So your intellect is that part of you that analyzes information. Your intellect is that part of you that analyzes your memory and also analyzes your imagination and also comes up with new things that can affect your will. You understand? So let's say you have a memory that something happened to you as a result of an action that you took. Now your intellect processes that information and then thinks that, oh, for me to avert that thing from happening again, this is what I need to do. So that's your intellect. Your intellect is analyzing information coming in through your memory and your imagination. And then your will is then taking action based on information supplied to you by your intellect. And also, your will can make decisions based on information supplied to you by your emotions. And all these put together, all these elements put together, your emotion, your will, and your mind, and then your mind comprising of your memory, imagination, and intellect, all these components put together make up your soul. And there are things that can affect your soul. There are things that can impinge on your soul that are not directly from God. And that is what we will loosely define today as a soul tie. So a soul tie is something that your soul is tied to, is bound to. And we'll look at the implication of all these as time goes on. Then also, we can say that a soul tie is also the attachment of your soul to another person or thing. And then let's take another definition again. A soul tie exists when there are things or people you can't just say no to, or when you should be saying no to them. Let me explain that, because we're getting ahead of ourselves, but I'm sure we'll fully understand. Now, let me look for an example here. Let's say, for instance, you have a sentimental attachment to, let's say, chocolate, right? And let's also imagine that we declared a fast today. And the terms of that fast is that you're not going to eat anything from the time that you wake up till, say, like 3 p.m. Right? Then at 11 a.m., I offer you a bar, your favorite bar of chocolate. Now, when you look at that bar of chocolate, there is an overwhelming sense, an overwhelming feeling of wanting to accept that bar of chocolate and consume it right away. Now, that overwhelming feeling is what we call a soul tie. Because at that point, you instantly forgot that you were on a fast. Based on that strong attachment that you have. And based on that attachment, you could hardly say no. So if you look at your life today, there are some things and there are some people that you find it difficult to say no to. And that could be an indication of where your soul ties are. I'll give you another example. Let's move over quickly to maybe the area of relationships, right? Now, if God says this thing, don't do it. You know fully well that you shouldn't do it because that's what God said. But then there is someone in your life who comes along and says to you, let's do this thing that God said you shouldn't do. And instantly you've forgotten that God said, I shouldn't be doing this. And then you are caught in the middle between saying no to this person, that no, I'm not supposed to do this, and bowing to pressure to do it. That is also an indication of your soul tie. I remember some years back, I was working with a firm of consultants in Lagos, and I just joined this firm, and you know the way we are then, we were then, is if you don't have a car and maybe like your colleague has a car, you know, we had this communal touch to things. You know, maybe the guy who has a car will, you know, load up his car with three or four of you and, you know, drop you at different places on his way home. So there was this guy, I got into his car and a lady got into his car, so there were just three of us. So he was going to stop at the lady's place, which was very close to the office, and mine was further down after the guy's place. So he was going to drop me just around his own place, and I was going to just continue my own journey, you know, on a daily basis. So when we got to the lady's place, she was going to get down, and I just decided to go funny, you know, just crack jokes, just for fun. I just, you know, so I just told the lady, I said, won't you even invite us in for a glass of water or something? And the lady said to me, I don't entertain male visitors. So I said, not even the two of us together? Because at first I was beginning to think, oh, maybe she was concerned and she thought that I wanted to go in there alone with her. So I said, not even the two of us together coming in for a glass of water? She said, no, that is my rule. Then I just laughed. Then I said to her, I said, I've heard this before. And seriously, I was just joking. I said, I've heard this before, but let me tell you something. I hope this rule is across the board. Because in my experience, now, I was still joking. I wasn't serious. I just said, in my experience, I mean, I was telling a fact, but I was joking at her. I said, in my experience, I've discovered, and I was still laughing, that whenever someone says, this is my rule, that there's somebody somewhere that when that person turns up, your rule goes into the dustbin. I said, I hope that person doesn't exist. Now, I was joking. This other colleague of mine was there. So she said, no way. And then she got down. Now, that was the first time I was going on that kind of a ride. And then my colleague took me right down, further down. He got to his own junction. I got off and continued my journey. Now, about a month or two later, some news broke out. Now, it happened that this guy and this guy, we worked in the same office room. So we're together in the same office room. So people knew that we worked together in the same room. And it also happened that the lady attended the same church with this guy. They both attended the same, so they were Christians, a major denomination in Nigeria. And it also happened that their pastor also worked in the same office with me. So one day, and the pastor knew that, I was a Christian, and I was quite keen about the things I believed in. So we're very good friends. So the pastor called me one day and said, "Shola, I want to talk to you." I said, "Why?" He said, "That guy that works in the same room with you." I said, "Shebi, he's a member of your church." He said, "Yes." He said, "I have a problem with him." I said, "What problem?" He said, "That girl that goes in the same car with both of you." I said, "What's wrong with her?" He said, "They are shacking up." I told the pastor, I said, nah, please. If they brought this to you as a rumor, just chuck it out. It's not happening. The man said, it is happening and it's becoming an eyesore to him in the church. So I sat down. I just went away from the guy. I said, what did I just hear now? So it wasn't just a case of someone was breaking the rule. The guy who was breaking the rule was in the same car with us. So I told the pastor, I said, it cannot be possible. And the man said, "Oh, sit down there. What these guys do is that when he drops you at his own junction and he's watched you go down the road, he turns back and returns to the girl's house." I said, "What?" So, seriously, I just had it in my brain. The moment you tell me that's my rule, I begin to suspect you. I said, "Look, someone out there might just be an exception. You better watch out." So that's what it is. Yes, you had a rule, but someone was breaking it. So the guy who breaks your rule is your soul tie. You understand? Good. So you can read all about soul ties on breakingsoulties.com. That's our website. And I think I've got the website name. I don't know if I have the website name on the CD, but I'm sure you'll always remember it, breakingsoulties.com. And then if you're on Twitter, you can follow me on Shola Adio, SolaAdio, or Soul Ties Tweets. And then also, if you're on Google Plus, you can link up with me on https plus.google.com plus Olushola Adio. And then also, if you need to chat with me, you can link up with me on BlackBerry as well. And that's the pin down there, 7C5BBD. 5-7, and I think to date now I've got over 800 contacts on BB on that pin, and the testimonies are awesome. I mean, people keep coming and linking up, and I literally make phone calls to Nigeria and other parts of the world on a daily basis, as I speak to one new person on the average every day. And you will not imagine the sort of things that are happening to people that are being discussed. And one thing I discovered was that people are going to church today, but can hardly really talk about the things they are going through in church. And we all know the reason, because people have to appear cool and calm, when they get to church. And the things are really eating you up. You really don't want to tell the people. You don't want to tell your cell leader. You don't want to tell your pastor. You don't want to make it look like, it's like you want to keep your reputation. Let's keep it that way. And stuff is happening that you can't even tell people about. So, and these are things that when I begin to discuss with people, at times I just come away and just start crying. I just come away from a discussion and I just start crying. You know, just out of the depth of pain, you know, that people are going through. So it's really been very awesome. Then you can also email me at breakingsoulties@charisministries.org. I think I've got that on the CD as well. Now, when did Soul Ties start? It actually started as an answer to a question on the 12th of October 2013. Really, on that day, I didn't dream that I'll be sitting here talking with you. It wasn't even in my thought at all. All that just happened was a discussion was going on Twitter, and someone just, and I used the expression soul ties, that look, if you want to have a happy marriage, you need to make sure that your soul ties are broken and are cut and destroyed, or else you're going to have things that will disturb your marriage. And the brother I was tweeting at then said, what do you mean by soul ties? So I said, oh, I thought everyone in church knew this. Guy said, no, I don't know. So I said to him, I said, okay, I'll prepare a set of tweets, because Twitter has a 140 character limit. So I said, okay, I'll prepare a bunch of tweets and I'll tweet them so that everyone else can learn. So on the 12th of October at about 10 o'clock, that was when the first tweet went out about soul ties. And after that first session, it was just awesome. It was just awesome. So far, on my own personal account, I think I've got over 5,000 followers. The influence of Breaking Soul Ties has grown massively on social media. I've got some feedback here. I don't know if you all can see those prints there. Can you all see it? Or you want me to read it out? Oh, you can. Okay. So I mean, this is just a fraction of the feedback that we've been getting since Soul Ties started. And, yeah, so let me just run through the feedback as well. There's another slide for the feedback. And then so far, I've expanded from Twitter to starting a blog on www.breakingsoulties.com. Then also we have a Facebook group as well, and a Facebook page that has all the feeds about the articles and all the statements that we're generating. Then we're also on Google Plus as well. Then we're also on YouTube. We've got a bunch of videos out there as well, and BlackBerry messaging. Then also we also do some internet radio broadcasts as well. There's a UK-based internet radio station called FCBAR Radio. I've actually been there a couple of times. And also there's another radio station, internet radio station based in Nigeria. They approached me actually, and they said they were quite happy to let me broadcast Soul Ties messages on their platforms on a daily basis, free of charge. They said they had been so blessed to the point that they've been so blessed to the point that they actually want me to come on their station on a daily basis. And I said to them, I really can't cope with that schedule. So we agreed for me to broadcast every week. So on Sundays, 6 o'clock, you'll find me on an internet radio station called WIG Radio. You'll find all the details on the website. Now, for the coming year, in fact, just before I talk about the plans for the coming year, now, as this message began to grow on Twitter, and funny enough, I think after the first broadcast I did, which I called Soul Ties, you'll notice on that tweet says Soul Ties starting shortly. I didn't put a number to it. So when that broadcast finished, I said, oh, okay, I still have more to say, and that will be in Soul Ties too. And hopefully I'll finish my response to you. So I called the next one Soul Ties 2. Now, I still didn't finish. And I said, oh, we'll take it to Soul Ties 3, and that should be it. And I think we're up to Soul Ties 28 now. Hallelujah. And I think towards the end of last year, with the kind of response that we were getting, and you know, people getting in touch, asking questions, relationship questions, and all the rest, it began to dawn on me, because really, I've been hearing about, you know, social media, people using social media to do various things. Now, I've also heard about people saying that, you know, ministry can be brought to people through social media. Now, I'm into IT, but really, when I heard such things, I just let them pass, because I'm into IT and I'm just thinking, no, come on. Nothing beats me looking at you face to face and getting the message across to you so I can study your body language. So I really didn't take it to heart that if anything was going to happen, it was going to happen through social media. But then what I just envisaged was that let me get done with this bunch of tweets on Soul Ties, then come away from social media and carry on with my life and see what God was going to do, you know, through me. And you know, just after Soul Ties 1, Soul Ties 2, Soul Ties 3, Soul Ties 4, and people kept saying that, look, we need you to do another broadcast on this, we need you to do another broadcast on that. So it was like, excuse me, when is this ever going to end? When is this going to end? And more people were coming on. So it was, I just thought, so if I end this thing and come away from Twitter, what's going to happen to all these people? And where are they going to find me? And then more people still kept coming on. So I sat down with a senior pastor friend of mine in Newcastle. And he looked, I mean, when I shared all the things that were happening with him, and he just said to me, he said, look, you have a ministry out there and it's going out to the people through the vehicle of social media. And you cannot run away from social media. Now, of course, other things will come along, but definitely social media is something you can't run away from and you should just go more into it. So it was for the first time I actually took it in that social media has come to stay, you know, for me. So there we are, here we are today. Now our plans for the coming year actually include holding brick and mortar seminars like this. And I thank God for today. Isaiah 51 verses 1 and 2 is a scripture, you know, I love to meditate on and think about on a day like this. How many are we today? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And the Bible says in, you know, Isaiah 51, 1 and 2, it says that, look unto Abraham, your father, and Sarah that bore you. He says, when I called Abraham, he was alone. So it meant that when God spoke to Abraham, when God called Abraham, Abraham was just one person. But then the Bible went on to say, but when I blessed Abraham, he became a nation. So your vision and your life is going to start with you alone, one person. But when the blessing comes, we're going to see a nation. Hallelujah. So this is the first of many to come. So this is the first Soul Tie seminar. It's happening in London. And we're looking to host more seminars like this in Newcastle in the coming year. More of this in London as well in the coming year, 2015. So next seminar, you're going to bring your friends along and we're going to be discussing more controversial and more controversial aspects of Soul Ties. So you got to get ready. And also, we've got Lagos and Port Harcourt penciled for 2015. And we're really looking forward to great things. Then also, we're looking at expansion of our reach on social media and also more radio broadcasts. So pretty much that's my presentation about Soul Ties and also defining what Soul Ties are. So I would say that we've come to the end of the first session. What is a soul tie? I believe that we all have a basic understanding of what soul ties are. For those who came in from the beginning, do you know what soul ties are now from what I've described to you? Good. If you're joining us for the first, just after we started, we defined a soul tie to be an attachment of your soul, emotion, will, and mind to another person or thing. And we also said that a soul tie exists when there are things or people you can't just say no to when you should be saying no to them. And one quick example, because of our time, would be someone like Samson. Samson had a calling from God to deliver Israel, but he couldn't say no to prostitutes, and he couldn't say no to kinky sex, right? And what he couldn't say no to was what eventually destroyed him. So that's one negative effect of soul ties, is that it stands in the way of the manifestation of God's power in your life. Soul ties would not necessarily send you to hell, right? But it will stand in the way of the fulfillment of the plan of God for your life if it is not properly handled or dealt with, rather. So I would take a break here, a 5-minute break, and we'll come back and go more intensively into soul ties. Thank you very much.